Hello and welcome to the ZU Cast. I am Eden Biskin, one of your hosts. I am joined by...
Hi, it's Alex Rosenberg. I have lots of feelings today.
Alex has lots of feelings. Me too. Most of them positive, because I like Hyrule Warriors, and we're going to talk about Hyrule Warriors, more specifically, Age of Calamity, although the first game will probably pop up.
Yeah, that, you know, that game that came out like a month ago, that thing, that'll be the thing of what we talk about today. It's, you know, one of the bigger Zelda events of the year, as it is one of the only real Zelda events of the year, but it does have a lot of kind of cool things in it. And lots of other things, in which I have a lot of thoughts, of which a lot of them I can't really say in this podcast because of spoilery things, but thoughts nonetheless.
Yes, we know that a lot of you haven't even gotten your hands on the game yet, so we're going to be nice, and we're going to try not to spoil, like, later game stuff, so we're limiting ourselves to talk about things that happened through the end of Chapter 4, which is, like, the first half-ish of the game, roughly.
For the record, that's about as much as we had to, as we covered, like, through our reviews of the game as well. We have a very good spoiler-free review, if you haven't gotten a chance to read it, over on Zelda Universe, that actually got featured in Nintendo Australia's Critic Role. That's kind of cool.
That's awesome. I read the review. It was good.
It is a very good. We've actually gotten pretty good praise for the fact that our review was actually entirely spoiler-free. So that's nice.
Was that Shona who wrote that?
That was Shona.
Yeah, Shona's on the podcast. Not today, but...
Not usually. Today, but she does cool things for the podcast.
Yes.
100%. But no, yeah, it's going to be mostly the early stuff. So if you haven't gotten a chance to play the game yet, don't worry. We got you covered there. This podcast is going to be mostly just me and Eden just talking about the game. However, we do actually have some segments as well. Randy actually takes a little bit of time to talk a lot about how Hyrule Warriors sort of happened and how it turned into the game that became Age of Calamity. Because Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, or any of the editions of the original Hyrule Warriors and Age of Calamity, are very different beasts. They share similar mechanics and the title mostly, but everything else is not even close. And I think it's a very interesting evolution.
Indeed. And our other segment is from Elias, who has another edition of Fake Zelda History in his meditation guidance voice.
Yeah. I didn't realize it made me feel either like I was listening to another podcast or I was in a spa with like the sounds of beluga whales just like in the distance.
Oh no. I'm never going to be able to listen to him the same way. There's always going to be beluga whales in the background.
I don't know. Just it's the way that he said, the way he speaks in that segment. Just it gave me such joy of just like, I feel like I could be meditating in like a random spa. And then just, like, in the very background, after he's, like, not talking, you just hear, And I know it's going to be in your head for the rest of the time. I guess
that's relaxing. I don't know. I've never relaxed to beluga whale sounds before.
I mean, I haven't either, but I feel like that's something people do.
Probably.
That seems accurate. So, but before we even get started anything like that, let's go real quick into... I think in general, our overall thoughts on, I guess, Hyrule Warriors as a series, I guess, right?
If you can call it that, yep.
I mean, it's two games. I wouldn't call it a franchise. I guess it would be like a spinoff series.
Yeah, I guess. Except, yeah. Yeah, since it's as much of a, well, I guess, see, like, Zelda is sort of a series in that the games are kind of connected, but like.
See, I kind of call it more of a franchise because it's like, yeah, they're connected, but like.
But Hyrule Warriors have nothing to do with each other.
Hyrule Warriors definitely has like nothing to do with anything. It's just like it's its own. Yeah, it exists. Hyrule Warriors exists in its own plane.
I mean, yeah, that's the only way it could be tied to anything else is by saying it's not tied to anything else.
Yeah. Now, have you played other Dynasty Warrior games in general?
Oh yeah. So okay. I'm a huge Dynasty Warriors fan. I've played, I played 3 with my brother on his PS2 a bajillion years ago. I played 4 with my brother on the PS2 a bajillion years ago. Then I got 4 on the computer, and I played 7 and 8. I tried 9, and it wouldn't run on my computer on launch day, so I returned it. And, but
how many Dynasty Warriors are we up to at this point?
9.
Oh, it is just 9. Got it.
And 9 was like, they tried to revamp everything and make it into an open world thing because, like, they're hip and with the times, except they weren't.
That is what the kids do nowadays.
Yeah, but apparently it failed miserably.
Well, I guess, there's a way to do it, and there's ways to do it poorly, and I guess they chose option B.
Yeah.
So my specific track record is I've only really played Hyrule Warriors, and I've heard of Dynasty Warriors, but I do not know much about it. So Hyrule Warriors was really my main thing. And I do kind of enjoy the gameplay. It is some of that gameplay that's kind of like, you can kind of turn your brain off for a bit and just button mash and then like,
oh yeah,
win. And that's cool. So
that's why I like it.
I enjoyed that, but then it was like, it was fine. Like, it's not particularly my favorite kind of thing. Like, I have Hyrule Warriors on Wii U. I have it on the Switch. I don't have the 3DS version because it's just like, I've heard also it runs like trash, so I don't. And yeah. Why would I have it when I have the Switch version? And I don't really know offhand without running to grab my Switch how many hours I've put in the original Hyrule Warriors, but definitely not as much as I've done on the Wii U, for sure. But something I found really interesting with Age of Calamity was how different it felt, which I think is very cool. But before I even get to that, I feel like that's a good segue into Randy's segment, because then we can talk about how I feel about that after that.
Absolutely.
So on that note, Randy.
Randy!
The Legend of Zelda, one of video games' best known and most respected names. The Warriors franchise, also known as Musou in Japan, one of the most prolific series ever. Just over 6 years ago, we were introduced to an unlikely pairing of these two classics in Hyrule Warriors. It was unbelievable at the time, Nintendo letting another studio use The Legend of Zelda? Although this was at a time when Nintendo finally started opening up and letting other studios kind of experiment and try new ideas with their franchises. And oddly enough, this one just kind of made sense. Hello, and once more, thank you for tuning into our wonderful podcast. I hope you're enjoying it so far. I'm Randy from Zelda Universe, and like everyone else this time, I'm going to be talking about Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity. Now, don't worry, there won't be any spoilers. Everything I'm discussing will be focused much more on the sort of machinery of these games, and how those pieces all sort of fit together. Story details are completely off the table here, but I really wanted to use my What If Zelda Was format and kind of twist it in on itself. So here, I ask, what if Zelda was a Dynasty Warrior game that was a Zelda game? At its core, Dynasty Warriors is a character action series. Like League of Legends or Overwatch, that means it's a series focused on individual characters bringing unique skills to perform the same job. In this case, murdering like a whole lot of dudes. And as I've discussed here before, the Legend of Zelda series is perhaps best known for its characters. So, yeah, of course. Let's go cut down a war crime's worth of bokoblins and save Hyrule. Now, I don't know why, and I don't know how, but Hyrule Warriors might be one of my favorite video games ever? Like, not in terms of impact, like, oh my god, this game is so important to me, but just in terms of like, yeah, you know, it sounds like fun, I'll just go drop 5 hours into this game for the evening. Why not? And so, all the way up to the deluxe version on Switch, I have collected over 300 hours into Hyrule Warriors. Only Animal Crossing rivals that, according to my Switch's clock. Quick aside, when do you think we'll see those Zelda-themed Animal Crossing villagers show up in New Horizons? Man, those were cool. All right, yeah, I get it, right, Musou. It was my very pleasant surprise back in August when we were treated to the announcement of a new Hyrule Warriors. I honestly wouldn't have guessed that that was ever going to be a thing. You know, given how much content they added to the original and the couple of ports, I suppose it only makes sense that they'd do another. It was incredibly successful after all. But the real kicker in this one is that it was set in the era of Breath of the Wild. Dubbed Age of Calamity, it was set to be a new look at the story of what happened to Hyrule 100 years before Link woke up from his spa day and decided to go climb trees for a few hundred hours. All those new and amazing characters that I hoped would show up as some kind of DLC in Hyrule Warriors ended up getting their own game. You know, now that we're on the other side of this game's release, I realize now that we didn't so much get Hyrule Warriors 2, which you'll note they didn't call this. Age of Calamity is so much more of a Zelda than what we had before. And as a fan of both things, I've had just a great time comparing and contrasting how both of these Hyrule Warriors games kind of handle their respective goals. The original Hyrule Warriors was more or less a fanfic story, complete with original characters at the center of the plot. It was less about making a new Zelda game and more just about having a celebration of all things Zelda and using it to decorate this otherwise very traditional Warriors game. It was like Mario Kart. All your favorites were there, but it was a different kind of game. Age of Calamity is a more unique take on the Dynasty Warriors half of this formula. It's designed to look and feel even more like Breath of the Wild. The combat is less methodical, and yeah, you have to actually run around obstacles like some sort of peasant, but if you just kind of looked at screenshots of both of them, you would be hard-pressed to identify the difference, at least immediately. Basically, if Hyrule Warriors was a Dynasty Warriors game with a Zelda reskin, then it stands that Age of Calamity is a Legend of Zelda game with a Dynasty Warriors retrofit. Hyrule Warriors reveled in making random references to every Zelda game they could physically fit into a disc. It was a party, and all your favorite heroes and villains are invited, even Volga and Wizro, two clearly Zelda-specific characters while not actually being from any particular game. Age of Calamity, conversely, takes itself very seriously. It's certainly not above making goofy animations and over-the-top attacks for the sake of being fun, but the tone and presentation are far more in line with what you would expect from a proper Legend of Zelda, especially something related to Breath of the Wild. The interface is even just ripped straight out of Breath of the Wild and given the Dynasty Warriors half just a very clean look. The music is another great place to highlight this difference. Age of Calamity sounds, for the most part, like the soundtrack to Breath of the Wild. Yes, I get it. A lot of the music was downplayed in that game, but come on, go climb Rito Village and tell me that's not a fantastic piece of orchestral music. A lot of your favorites are here, including fighting a regular enemy, fun variations of the champion's themes, and oh god, is that, it is, that's a guardian. Where can I hide? I'm not prepared, this is my climbing gear! Hyrule Warriors, well, do you like wailing guitars and screaming trumpets? Do you like shop music to be every shop theme ever? Did you think that, man, Death Mountain's theme would be way better with a heavy bass line and brass that could blast the feathers off a Kuko? It's fast-paced, it's energetic, and it's really, really good. It is, however, just a celebration of Zelda music. I'll admit, when I first saw Age of Calamity, the immediate joke-slash-legitimate hope was for a butt-rock rendition of a few piano chords being strummed in between crickets and birds chirping. I'm almost a little bit disappointed we didn't really get that, but Age of Calamity soundtrack is perfectly wonderful. It's just perfectly wonderful in a different direction. So what all of this means is kind of goes back to my previous series on this podcast. It's a look at how other developers and other media creators can take our beloved Zelda and make it into something that's both recognizable and unique. Age of Calamity is an example of an evolution on that process and what it would look like to have that unique thing swing a little bit closer to Zelda. I've enjoyed the process of picking out these similarities and differences between the games to see what they're trying to do with it, but I can't wait to see where everything goes from here. I haven't finished the game yet, but I'm on the way. I am past the thing, and I'm just loving every moment. So, curious to see where they go, how they finish it, and, sort of what that looks like in terms of celebrating Zelda, as was the goal of the original Hyrule Warriors. And so I would like to just thank you again for joining me today. I hope that you kind of see a bit more into the bits and pieces, the little moving parts between both games, because at least for me, that kind of mechanical stuff is important. It's what makes a video game more than just the same thing over and over again. It's the kind of thing I obsess with. So I hope that that carries through and that you enjoyed yourself. Thanks, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Randy. So that's kind of why I kind of found Age of Calamity so interesting, was because it is more Zelda. Like, there are mechanics of Dynasty Warriors there, but there is more Zelda injected into it that I think I really like.
Yeah, I found myself honestly feeling very confused about, like, what game was I actually playing for the first several hours? Like, because I've put possibly more hours into Hyrule Warriors across the three versions than any other video game ever in all time. And so I think I was sort of expecting a specific feel. And when that didn't come, I was sort of confused. And also the game looks very much like Breath of the Wild, and all of, like, the assets pretty much are from Breath of the Wild. So I kept being confused. Why can't I climb on things? where is the next shrine? Stuff like that, while also still hacking and slashing. So it was a very weird feeling of being more on that Zelda side than on the Warriors side, which, as Randy pointed out, is sort of the opposite in the original Hyrule Warriors. Did you have that feeling ever?
I mean, with my limited set, I had it a little, but, like, I knew enough of, like, because I also had to do all of the demo stuff, like, nonstop, but, like, when the demo dropped, I learned very quickly on that, because for those who don't know, basically when the, because you didn't play it until launch, right? You avoided the demo.
Right. I was on, like, a complete media blackout as much as I possibly could. I didn't want to know who any of the characters were. I didn't want to know what any of the gameplay would be like beyond. So basically all I knew about was the stuff I saw in the original trailer.
Yeah. So that day when that trailer came, or when the announcement of the demo came up, I literally woke up, was like, I'm going to get some stuff done today. I'm going to clean my apartment. I'm going to do my laundry, get some stuff done, get some food. It's going to be a good day. I go on Twitter. I see Nintendo Direct Minis happening, and I'm like, oh, cool. And then they talk about all these games, and they get to Age of Calamity, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is probably their, like, hey, this is the last Direct of the year before Age of Calamity. Make sure you go buy it. And then they're like, oh, yeah, here's a demo. And I'm like, what? What do you mean there's a demo? Okay. Oh, God. Well, there's my day, because I then spent the rest of the day capturing footage and making a first impressions video. So
you're so diligent.
I got lucky that I had a day off that day.
Oh, yeah. No,
if I didn't have a day off, that wouldn't have happened. But I immediately had to throw together a script. And I remember texting my girlfriend being like, I have no plan. I'm about to record something that I have no plan of, like, what I'm going to say. And it was all off the cuff. And she gave me, like, a small structure. And I'm like, okay, I can work with this. So that's how that video showed up. And that video is on YouTube. It's the first impressions thing. I'm kind of proud of it, considering it. I churned it out in, like, less than, like, 8 hours. But because I played the demo, I knew kind of going into it what I was going into the actual game, because I'd had to play the beginning.
How's the demo actually differ from the full game?
The demo is just chapter one. It's flat out chapter one. Like, once you get into it, like, unlocks the levels, like, icons to go in to meet the champions and actually recruit them. But if you select them, it says it's not open yet, because it's a demo of it. But then when you actually buy the game, for me, since I bought it digitally, it noticed that it already had the demo save file there, and it was like, oh, do you want to start from that point or want to start fresh? And I was like, we'll just start from there.
That's a sweet deal.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. Also, I got digital because I wanted that pot and ladle.
Oh, yeah, I got it digital anyway. I get all my games digitally when I can.
So that, like, I came in, like, very... Like, I had an idea what I was going into. And then it really just became the characters that I was, like, really used to playing. Now, I gotta ask, who did you, like, specifically play as most of this game?
So, I tried to keep it, I guess you could say, canon. So, even when it offered, basically, you could choose anybody you've unlocked so far, I chose someone who I thought would actually be in the battle. But the way I play games where they let you play as like different characters, like the Warriors game, Super Smash Brothers, those kinds of games, I don't usually stick to one character because I get bored of one character. And I think that's how I keep it fresh.
Okay.
Because like Warrior and even Smash Bros, they're very, very repetitive. They have very repetitive gameplay.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So I think the reason I like still enjoy them is because I keep it fresh for myself by switching characters as much as possible.
That's totally fair. That's 100%, 100% fair.
And I mean, obviously I think I played as Link more often than anybody else because, well, he's the one you have from the start, and sometimes they make you play as Link.
Right.
But as much as possible, I also like, because I think he has what, 3 different weapon classes, so I would switch up weapon classes.
I never used a single weapon other than the master sword.
Oh, but the two-handed weapons are so fun.
Are they? Because like, I'm very specific.
The sacrifice like combo attacks are awesome.
See, but you also, because of your experience with Dynasty Warriors, you strike me as a person that like actually knows the combos well enough that you would actually do them, aside from the person who is me, who literally will just press like
buttons.
A or X for like 20 minutes and just literally do only that. See, the difference between you and me,
that would get so boring though. Again, keep it fresh.
Which is, I mean, the difference between you and me, Ian, is that you're probably actually better at games than I am. Like, you're good at games, whereas I am kind of not.
Am I?
Probably. It depends on the game, but like mostly I'm not a great, like, I have like very little skill when it comes to gaming. On certain games I'm okay, but for the most part, a lot of times I just sort of flail around.
That's how I play Pokemon. I don't do any strategy. Brute force it.
Yeah, I do the same pretty much. But for me, this is kind of a game that I can kind of unwind with and sort of turn my brain off and just sort of do things.
That's fair.
Which I think it's a game that's good for that, which, you know, if, and it helps me. Granted, I'm still in it for the story because it is technically a prequel to Breath of the Wild. But it does have that sort of feel for me. Like for me, I basically mained 2 people. I mained Link and I mained Revali.
I think I know why.
Okay.
He's your favorite, isn't it?
Yes, but also he's actually one of my favorite characters to play as because his range is great.
He's fun. He's really fast when he's flying.
He flies. That means he's above any sort of ground attacks, which means he basically rarely gets hit unless they actually do an aerial sort of deal. And he can hit a ton of people at once. I can just mow people down as Revali.
That's fun.
No question. Like, he was the one I could get the most amount of kills with, and I'm like, I'm into it. But no, yeah, he is also my favorite character. So do I regret nothing? Yes.
Yes.
I regret literally nothing.
Okay.
Look, I like Falco, and also Sean Shiplock, the guy who voices him, is also a lovely person. So,
you go.
There it is.
I had a different experience, little tangent, but I had a different experience of Revali, at least as a character.
I feel like most people did.
In Breath of the Wild, I kind of liked him, because he's not a nice dude, but you can sort of maybe assume that he's just like a tsundere and like just doesn't want to open up to people. But when you play Age of Calamity, it's clear he's kind of just an a-hole in general.
I mean,
to use a technical term,
like, oh, it's very technical for sure. I mean, here's the thing, right? So one reason why I loved him so much in Breath of the Wild was because he reminded me a lot of Falco. And that kind of like sassiness and like kind of backhanded sort of talk, and but also like he's like, yeah, I guess you're cool. I vibed with that, but also I feel like he was more humbling because, like, you know, he dead in the original.
Also true.
Whereas in Age of Calamity, he no dead. So like, of course he's gonna be more of who he is, which I was fine with, because you know what? It's that's who I know the character is, and I find it fine, and he's witty and sassy, and I'm into it.
That's fair.
So I don't know. It didn't affect me as much, but maybe it's just because I think I enjoy that kind of thing myself. But he was really like, he was like my favorite character to play. I didn't really enjoy playing as many other characters aside from Link, especially some of the ones that you unlock. A lot of them I would play once and I'm like, no, I'm good. Thanks.
What about Hestu?
So slow. Couldn't get through the walking screen.
But he's my friend.
Is that the one that you like the most?
I like his character the most.
Yeah, it was either like issued with like movement or combos, or again, I think it's just different playing style than what I like. So
that's fair. Yeah, with Hestu, I don't like strategize or like go for any specific combos very much. I just more do the button mashy thing. But it's fun when you're using Magnesis and Hestu goes, catch! Because that is just unbelievably dark while also being said by the least dark character in the entire game.
We love good irony in video games here.
Yes, we do.
I think it's very clear that you and I both have very different sort of viewpoints on Age of Calamity and just Hyrule Warriors in general. I feel like we need another person to like kind of even us out, you know?
All right. Well, who do you have in mind?
I think I know just the person. Hey, Siri, call Kelly Timmerman.
Oh.
Calling Kelly Timmerman home.
Let's get Kelly on.
Hello, this is Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, it's Alex.
Hey, Alex, what's up?
Hey, so I'm doing the podcast recording with Eden right now.
Hello.
And we're talking about Hyrule Warriors.
Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah.
Like the first one?
Yeah, that and like Age of Calamity. So I know you...
Say no more. I'll be right there.
Okay. Sure.
Well, that was easy.
Yeah, that was very easy, I guess. Awesome.
Okay,
I guess
this is happening.
We should... Guess I
Hello,
should give
I
her
am
a...
here
oh
now.
Oh my god,
oh my
hi.
Goodness. Hello. Welcome.
Hello. Hey, thanks for having me.
Hi, Kelly.
I'm so happy that you guys decided to pull me into yet another podcast.
Hey,
it's what we do.
You know, like, what else are you gonna do tonight? Play Animal Crossing?
No, I was editing the podcast, or you know, just you know, doing those segments. I'm keeping on top of everything.
Good job.
Yay.
We thought you'd be a great person to sort of run us out because Eden loves Hyrule Warriors. I'm kind of like, I mean, I like it. It's fine. But I know that you kind of are not like a huge fan of Hyrule Warriors. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. I honestly, I just really did not enjoy the game.
Gasp.
I couldn't get into it. I'm sorry, Eden. I'm sorry. It's just like,
how could
I just,
you?
I'm sorry. I tried. I really tried. I promise you that I tried.
You know what? Trying is always important.
Yeah, I mean, I got through the main story for the most part. Like, I don't really remember much of it, but, you know, I can kind of put in my two cents if you guys are willing to listen.
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
That is why I brought you here.
I mean, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Well, first off, let's start off with talking about the characters in Hyrule Warriors. Exactly how many characters are there? Like, 40?
It feels like it, for sure. Definitely,
nearly.
Like, in the first game, like, there was, I think, like, what, 18? I think there's still a lot in Age of Calamity.
Mm-hmm. Well, my biggest thing is, like, I love the idea of bringing in these other characters and everything, because, like, when are you ever going to play as Tetra? When are you ever going to get to play as Midna? When are you ever going to get to play as, you know, any of these characters that we know and love?
Agatha.
But Agatha, yeah.
Everybody's favorite.
My biggest problem is, like, I would be having to play 24/7 to keep all of my characters at the same level, which is how I normally play games like that with multiple characters. I like them all to be at a consistent level. Maybe one is like 5 or 10 levels higher if they're my main character, but it was just too much for me. It was too many characters that I had to constantly be grinding out to, you know, even get them remotely close to my main character. So, I don't know. That was just a little much for me. What do you guys think?
No, that's an actually, like, that's a very fair assumption and, like, a very fair sort of, like, statement. Because, like, I felt the same way. I was talking earlier in the podcast with Eden, like, I basically played as Revali and as Link in Age of Calamity. And, like, that was it. So, like, Mipha, I touched her maybe twice. And then she's still at where she is at, like, level 30.
Wow.
Like, I only dealt with the people who I actually dealt with. And I know Hyrule Warriors, especially on Switch, is notoriously bad with, like, you have to level up every single character to max to get all the achievements. And it's just, yeah, ew.
Yeah, I mean, with Age of Calamity, I played a few of the characters. I started with Link, and then my boyfriend played as Impa for quite a bit, and then we unlocked the champions, and he played as Mipha, and I played as Urbosa. And let me tell you, those two together, unstoppable.
Mipha and Urbosa?
Oh, yeah. Mipha used her water, and it was a large, like, ring, and Urbosa, when she did her snap, it was just a, like, lightning dome of electricity. And what happens when you mix water and electricity?
Great things.
Fun things.
Yeah.
Also, electrocution.
Yeah, it's lovely. Because, you know, the game's smart and actually uses stuff like that. Because when I was playing as Urbosa and I was in water and threw down some electricity, a ball would kind of appear around the water and anything that stepped into that would get electrocuted. So that's honestly, like, really, really cool. And, you know, they did it in Breath of the Wild, so why wouldn't they do it in Age of Calamity? It just makes sense.
Now that's what I call game design.
Yeah. The best kind. And yeah, I mean, in Hyrule Warriors, if I remember correctly, I played as Link quite a bit. He was probably my main. I played as Zelda quite a bit. And then, like, I just played as Sheik a bunch. And I think that was it, honestly. Like, those were it.
I think I only played Link that entire game.
Yeah, I mean,
like, who else was there to play? Like, Darunia? Like,
they forced you to play as Ganondorf for a little while.
Okay, well, Ganondorf was kind of cool, though, so
he was awesome in that game.
And he looks good in that game. So, like, you know what? He gets a pass.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty nice how, spoiler alert for Hyrule Warriors,
a game that's like 6 years old.
6 year old game, yep.
You know, it's fine. Some people, they don't know. I thought it was really cool how they flipped the game and had you play it as the enemies and kind of see their roles on everything. But it also was just like, oh great, now I gotta level up all these characters. Because like I said, I like to be consistent and keep all my characters roughly around the same level just because I am who I am. So it was, I don't know, that was like really the core of it. It was just overwhelming with the amount of characters that were there.
Your points remind me like of Dynasty Warriors because in those games, there's 3 or 4 factions and all these characters that belong to them, and each battle features usually 2 of them, and you can, depending on which scenario, which like campaign you're doing, you'll be on one side or the other. So you get to see it from both sides. And also, if you think there's a lot of characters in Hyrule Warriors, like Definitive Edition, Dynasty Warriors 8 with the Extreme Legends expansion has probably about 60 different characters.
What? Like,
oh my goodness.
It's excessive.
Dear God,
I love
60?
It.
And that's roughly, why I never play a Dynasty Warriors game.
Wait, at least it feels like 60. I don't know.
But like, that's so much.
That's too many.
That is like statistically and legally too many. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, that's just overwhelming for me, and it makes me not want to play the game, you know? It just makes me, I view it as, like, that's a headache, and that's, you know, a dedication that I could be dedicating to a different game and having way more fun in versus just grinding. And I'm not saying anything about grinding games. Like, they're some of those games are really, really fun because all you do is just go on an adventure and level up your character. But there are just some days where I just don't feel like it. But that would be all the time with Dynasty Warriors or Hyrule Warriors, to be honest.
No, yeah, I feel that. Like, I was saying earlier to Eden earlier in the podcast that this is kind of a game that I kind of can just turn my brain off and just, like, button mash and just clear through enemies, and, like, that's fine.
And that's why I like it, I think.
Going off of that, one of the things with Hyrule Warriors that was really just hard and difficult for me to deal with was the fact that you literally had to be everywhere at once. I can recall the endless amount of times that I'd be all the way down on the bottom of the map fighting something, and then all of a sudden, hey, Link, we need help, all the way at the top of the map. And then I'm spending like 3 minutes just running to this other character, and that's not fun for me. I want to fight things, I want to button mash, not run to save people. Like, they're guards of Hyrule. They should be able to defend themselves, you think?
I also kind of feel that, too, with the actual, like, the non-playable heroes. Like, mm-hmm. the other heroes that, like, are not your player team, but also accompany you, because they also don't do a ton of damage. So, like, yeah. I found myself, even when I had other heroes I could even play in that area, I would just go with the character that I was used to, which in this case mm-hmm. was Revali, because I basically played mostly Revali just because I could easily just mow down enemies real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it would take me a while to get from point A to point B because as I would do it, I would just clear enemies. And so, like, my trek going across the Hyrule would be, like, 6 minutes. And, like, at some point, just, like, that's a lot. That's so much. Especially because you feel like you do a better job than the NPCs do. So the AI could use some work.
AI is, you know, they're trying their best. They're trying their best. But I mean, in Age of Calamity, I would just play as Link and then I'd shield surf all the way to the next spot because I was faster than running. So that saved me a lot of time and energy. But also, I was able to switch to different characters in Age of Calamity. And I'm not sure, honestly, if you could do that in Hyrule Warriors.
They added it to Legends, and then Definitive Edition inherited that.
Okay, so it was on 3DS, and then, okay.
Yeah, so they added it after I stopped playing, which, honestly, that single thing right there probably could have made my gameplay more fun, honestly, because, you know, when somebody's all the way on the other side of the map, instead of running there, I could just switch to the person who's closest and then play as them, get them some experience, figure out how to play as them, blah, blah, blah. And then, woo, okay, now I feel a lot better instead of having to literally run across the entire map, not fighting enemies, not doing my objective, but going and saving somebody because if they die, the game ends.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. Since it sounds like you didn't play after the Wii U version.
Yeah, I only played the Wii U version.
Well, in Legends, they also fixed that a little bit more. They added an ocarina item that let you... There were, like, Majora's Mask-style owl statues around certain battlefields. And once you interacted with them and activated them, you could use the ocarina to warp to them at any point.
Oh!
Okay. That's kind of nice. Neat.
I didn't know
that. Yeah.
Clearly, I didn't get that far.
Yeah, that's in Definitive Edition.
Yeah, clearly I quit playing at the wrong time, I guess.
I guess I didn't get far enough in Hyrule Warriors to do that. Whoops.
Yeah, I didn't give them a chance to fix it. I was just like, nope, next game. Moving on.
Let me be Wolf Link, and then we're good. I'm going to go be Wolf Link now.
Yeah, and I mean, with Hyrule Warriors, it's a story we all know. We all know the story, which is basically based off of Ocarina of Time. And it was fun to kind of play as, like, seeing it in a different light, more or less. Being able to experience that story again was kind of nice. But it was even better with Age of Calamity and having a whole new story and more or less getting the gaps filled in for us. I just thought Age of Calamity did it much better.
I agree. 100%, actually.
I will agree to an extent. Because I feel like I got a completely different interpretation of what this game was supposed to be.
Oh?
Of which I can't really say on recording. Because
spoilers.
But after recording, I will explain. I think I think this is my fault, really, that I gave myself a different sort of end point, or I envisioned a different end point than where we got. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my thoughts are still just kind of like, okay, yeah. I don't know how I feel about this change. But for the most part, I do agree.
Yeah. And I mean, with Hyrule Warriors, it felt like Dynasty Warriors with Zelda skin versus Age of Calamity, where it feels like The Legend of Zelda and Dynasty Warriors worked together to make this game. And that's honestly the best part of Age of Calamity for me.
Yeah.
And more behind the scenes information. This Age of Calamity was developed by Omega Force, which is Koei mm-hmm. Tecmo's studio that works on Dynasty Warriors, whereas the original Hyrule Warriors was not. So,
makes sense.
What? Hold on. Who did the original then?
Team Ninja, which is now a subsidiary of Koei Tecmo, and there was one other.
Wait, so the people who do Ninja Gaiden and are alive.
Yeah.
Did Hyrule Warriors.
Yeah. Yes.
Mind blown.
And then
blown.
Instead of then just... What? Was the original team busy?
They might have been busy working on Dynasty War... No, because that was 20...
It was 2014.
Yeah.
What were they working on? 8?
When did 9 come out? 9 came out in like 2018, so...
Yeah.
They might have been working on that? I don't know.
That's... What? Why? What? I'm just going to say it again. What? okay.
Moving on. I'll keep this train going. One of the things that was kind of, and this is just like a fangirl kind of annoyance because I love The Legend of Zelda. Some of the pairing for the characters in Hyrule Warriors was a little odd to me. Because in Hyrule Warriors, they would pair like Fi and Ghirahame together. And those characters, they don't work together in my head. It didn't make sense to me why they were working together. And then you'd have a situation where Darunia is on Skyloft. And I'm like, okay, tell me why he's on Skyloft. That doesn't make any sense. So, like, I mean, that's just like me just being nitpicky and kind of being like, this is a general annoyance. I think they did it well with Age of Calamity because it was more or less like a training ground. It was a mission where you had to fight your friends, but it was for training purposes. And that kind of made it more like, all right, Daruk, like, let's do this. Who's gonna win? You know, it made you kind of want to fight against these characters knowing that it's just training, and that kind of goes with the story, too. So that was really fun for me and more or less an annoyance for Hyrule Warriors.
I think it should be noted, though, that Hyrule Warriors is also kind of a celebration of the franchise, which is like, here's all these characters from all of these games that you can play as and do whatever you want with. Whereas Age of Calamity is pretty much all sort of self, like, absorbed into just this one game. It is just mm-hmm. focusing on one game, and that's Breath of the Wild, of which all of these characters interact with each other, and that's actually legitimately canon. So mm-hmm. it blends better because all of these characters exist in that same world regardless.
Right. Yeah, and it kind of makes the characters smaller in the realm of, as we said before, there were too many characters in Hyrule Warriors, and now in Age of Calamity, there's just enough characters. You know, you can replay the game or replay levels. I think so.
More,
I mean,
I'm gonna make the argument that there are still too many characters.
Oh.
I think there's the right amount. I mean, there's a couple characters that I'm not going to play as, and there are some characters that I'm always going to play as. Looking at you, Rivali.
Hey now. Look.
Oh, no.
Rivali is a great character if you want to just, like, fly above everyone, not get hit with ground attacks, and just mow people down.
But he doesn't have to be a bully. Have you tried cooking food for him? He's mean.
That's true. I was telling Alex before that I was sort of okay with Rivali in Breath of the Wild. Like, there was some part of me that thought, based on what I saw from that game, maybe he was like a tsundere, and just like his soft side was just like covered by this hard outer shell. But I got none of that from Age of Calamity. He's just a complete jerk.
But again, yeah. Counterpoint, in Breath of the Wild, he ghost. He dead. He not dead in Age of Calamity. Therefore, why does he need to be humble when he's still the person that he is? When he's dead and a ghost in, like, Breath of the Wild, like, yeah, there's a little bit more of a humble sort of thing of, all right, well, you did it. Good job, I guess.
Yeah, well, even in the memories.
He was still a stick in the mud, yeah. He was still a stick in the mud in the memory.
Yeah. But, like, over time, he sort of started to warm up to Link. At least that was the sense I got.
I mean, I still enjoy him for what he is, because I also enjoy that sort of, like, sassiness to a degree. I didn't have an issue with it in Age of Calamity, just because it's... I don't, but also his character is, like, the most useful, I feel like, so...
Yeah, he's fun to play as.
Okay. One of the things I really did like about Age of Calamity is that they did get rid of, more or less get rid of, the ranking system.
I actually forgot about the ranking system after a bit.
It's so much better. The fact that you can...
It doesn't need to exist, to be honest.
I like the fact that it's gone, because certain missions, yes, they're timed, cool, whatever. But the missions that aren't timed, I like to kind of just run around and look at the scenery and be like, where am I on the Breath of the Wild map? Where am I? Like, can I figure out where I'm at? Can I figure out, like, where this is? And, like, there are times where just kind of exploring and stuff, I'd be like, oh, this is the same area that I did A, B, and C in. That's cool. I remember when I was over there doing this. It's kind of cool to see the level design and kind of take that all in. Because in Hyrule Warriors, you didn't have time to do that. You had to go, because the faster you cleared that stage, the better rank you would get. And it made me... Like, it just made me try to be as quick as possible. It made me not enjoy the game. It made me not take my time and learn how to do combos. It made me just mash buttons and figure out where I needed to go next. And that's, like I said, it's just not fun for me to just mash buttons and run. You know, I want to be able to explore. I want to be able to kind of take in this world.
That's fair. I spent most of that time just, like, finding every enemy and then defeating it.
Yeah.
Because that was what I did. But no, yeah, I forgot about the ranking system. I thought nothing of the fact that it was gone, but I'm cool with it, because it's like, on levels that didn't have a timer, I just go and just go ham.
My least favorite part of the ranking system from the first game was that in most adventure mode levels, you could only take a certain amount of damage before your rank would go down, and I am not great at being defensive in that game.
Oh, I just don't do it.
And like, collecting all the heart containers and the heart pieces really didn't mean anything for that, because you could only take a certain amount of damage to get an A rank anyway. So it just made collecting those pointless, because I wanted to get an A rank every single time.
Mm-hmm. And then if you didn't get an A rank, you'd have to replay the level
from the
beginning, over and over and over again from the beginning.
So stressful. Oh my goodness gracious.
Yeah, it wasn't fun. Like, that's what it came down to, is like, it wasn't fun for me. And I view a game like that as, it should be fun. I should be able to play it for as long as I want, or as little as I want, and be able to just have fun with it. And if I'm playing a game and all it is stressful, I'm not going to play it. Unless its name is Bloodborne or Dark Souls or Sekiro, I'm not going to play it. If I know that it's going to be a hard game, that's a different story. But I don't know. I just felt like Hyrule Warriors just had too much unnecessary stress and unnecessary annoyances.
Right. It's like they went too far in trying to make it challenging.
Which that doesn't need... There are other games that can do that. If I wanted to be frustrated, I'd go buy Demon's Souls.
Yep. Yep. Fair. And I mean, it's just one of those games where all you are feeling is rushed. You're just feeling rushed to beat the level, unlock this character, beat this level, kill this enemy, get the thing, hurry up, this person's dying. Oh, wait, did we tell you that person's dying? No, we meant this person's dying. Now you gotta run to the other side of the map, blah, 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 blah. No, I'm not doing it. I'm over it.
I refuse.
I refuse.
You can't make me.
Sometimes I'd find that having to go across the entire map just to save them would take more time than just trying to cheese it and finish the level.
Oh, always.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can safely agree that Hyrule Warriors is not a Zelda game, but Age of Calamity is a Zelda game.
Yeah. Fair? I agree.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. It's like, part of me is like, actually it's not, but like, it's, Hyrule Warriors stays in its lane of being a spinoff, whereas Age of Calamity kind of blurs that line.
Yeah, but it tells a story that we didn't hear yet. It brought in...
It brings in more Zelda mechanics.
Yeah, and it could easily have a continuation. It could easily just be its own thing. But overall, it filled in some of the gaps of Breath of the Wild for me, of like, what was this person doing? What was that person doing? How did this come to play? And it kind of answers those questions for me. And that's, you know, I'm totally fine with it being a one-off. You know, I love it. I think what Age of Calamity is what Hyrule Warriors should have been.
I agree. I mean, yeah. I consider Hyrule Warriors, at least plot-wise, to be a very, very mediocre fan fiction. That's like trying way too hard to do fan service in every possible way. But it was also fun. Yeah, yeah.
Look at Sia. What is she doing? Isn't she cold?
She wants to swing on a chandelier. Obviously.
Stop. Oh, man.
But that game's fun. I still like it.
It is fun. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, I just sat here and pointed out all the things that are wrong with it.
Right? Yep.
But nothing is honestly wrong with the game. It's a good game by itself. I just feel like it is a Dynasty Warriors with a Zelda skin. That's all. That's my opinion. Take it or leave it.
We will take it.
Well, thank you for joining us, Kelly. It was nice to hear your insights.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It was really fun to kind of just talk about video games with some pals. I mean,
yeah.
What else am I doing on a, what is it, Tuesday night? Not playing Animal Crossing. I'm editing the podcast after this.
Oh, like, boy.
You'd better. I mean, yeah, that'd be great.
I will.
Or, you know, Animal Cross. I will be the enabler.
Tisk, tisk.
I'll let it be up to the audience's interpretation what I do after this, but...
Ooh, send us some feedback. What do you think Kelly did after this?
Yeah, send us more feedback because we need that. Well, I'm gonna hop off here and go edit this podcast, so
Yay!
I'm not gonna be playing Animal Crossing.
Okay.
But thank you so much for having me again. It was a lot of fun, guys.
Thank you for jumping on short notice.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
You're welcome.
Okay,
bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty. So, next thing that we're going to do is hand the podcast over to Elias Thompson, who is going to relax us all with
a nice, totally factual look at some Zelda history. I think he talks about the timeline or something. I don't know. It's totally factual.
And now for an installment of Fake Zelda History with Elias Thompson. When Dark Horse Books published Hyrule Historia in January of 2013, many American Zelda fans were upset with the official reveal of an unexpected second Legend of Zelda timeline split, resulting in three branching timelines, or a Trifork timeline, if you will. Later that year, when Team Ninja lead developer Yosuke Hayashi pitched the first Hyrule Warriors game to Eiji Aonuma, the two were vexed over which direction the plot should go and where to fit the game in the newly public Trifork timeline. Around that time, then-president and chief operating officer of Nintendo of America, Reggie Fils-Aimé, sent a message in their group line chat saying, "LOL, it'd be funny if we just threw in parts from all the other games just to screw with them, LMAO." The team in Japan had no better ideas, and so that was what they decided to release. The wild success of the game went on to influence the plot of its sequel, Hyrule Warriors: Age of Calamity, wherein, after having essentially unified the Trifork timeline in Breath of the Wild, they decided to split it once again. This has been Fake Zelda History with Elias Thompson.
Boy, that was some good Zelda history. Thank you, Elias, for your wonderful contribution to Zelda.
Yes, it's very nice to know that the timeline is the way it is only because the developers like to screw with their fans.
I mean, after finishing Age of Calamity, I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've changed the timeline even pre-Breath of the Wild. Apparently, like, the Hyrule Encyclopedia had a different timeline than Hyrule Historia.
Real annoying part
I don't think
is...
they really care.
No, I don't think they actually have a timeline. Everyone just like was like, "We want it in order," and Nintendo's just like, "But no."
Have some fan fiction.
Could you imagine if that's what all companies did? Have some fan fiction. You'll get over it. It's fine. But because a couple years ago, Aonuma-san was talking about timeline placement for Breath of the Wild, and he was like, he kind of gave an odd answer because it's like we're kind of afraid to actually put it somewhere because we don't want it to be put like to put ourselves in a kind of a creative corner, which like, look, I get that. I understand.
Oh yeah.
But when you make addendums to all your other games on Twitter as to where they fall, and then you decide for your newest game you're just not going to, it's just like you're just kind of like, what? Because like you even put a spot in for Triforce Heroes, a game that is got easily the most ridiculous plot out of all Zelda games. Not like it's a bad thing, because it's full camp and I'm into it, but like that has an official place on the timeline, but Breath of the Wild does not.
Kay? I think its official place is a long time after all of the other games, whatever.
See,
that means.
I would like that just because at this point nothing really makes sense.
Yeah.
Because there's just like there's the timeline that turns into Wind Waker, which is also the adult timeline, despite Link looking like a kid in that game. We've got the child timeline going into Twilight Princess, which he looks like a teen in, which is like, okay, I get that Majora's Mask is kind of before that, and he's a child technically in that, but whatever. But like, okay, they're more dark games, but sure. And then there's just the timeline where Link loses. And you're just like...
That was brilliant. That was some... nice, really solid fan fiction right there.
And reminder, this is the company that Miyamoto had that recent statement about, like, he doesn't really like when games tackle deep, dark sort of contents and themes. Meanwhile, let's have a timeline where Link loses.
Yay!
And I'm just like, Uh-huh. Sure, Nintendo. And yes, I know it's mostly Miyamoto's perspective, and a lot of the Zelda is choices that are made as not from him. They're from Aonuma, who has different ideals and different thoughts. But hearing it from him and then just looking at Breath of the Wild's sequel, supposedly being more dark than Majora's Mask, and then looking at Majora's Mask, and then looking at that entire timeline, I'm just like, uh-huh. Sure.
Well, that scarred me for life.
I'm just gonna call sus on all of that, basically. So, there's that. I mean, overall, like, here's the thing. I do really like Hyrule Warriors and Age of Calamity. I think it's a game that I think is worth playing. I think I maybe gave myself different expectations of what I was expecting to get into, especially near the end, which we won't be talking about specifically, but is a thing.
For what it's worth, I thought the ending was epic. That's all I'm going to say about it. Well, this brings us to the end of our Age of Calamity episode.
I hope that everybody listening has a very safe rest of 2020. Happy holidays. Stay safe.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Please make good choices out there, wherever you are. And we will be back in early 2021 with more ZU podcast things, which will probably be a lot more in-depth considering that we're getting into probably one of our busiest years, which is the 35th anniversary of The Legend of Zelda.
Anniversaries!
And not just Zelda's anniversary, but also Zelda universes, because we turned 20 this year, apparently.
On the same day that Zelda turns 35.
So, double the anniversaries, double the fun, and double the work for us.
Yep. Woo! And of course, that means we're going to be doing something special, or special things, multiple, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
It's special things in multiple variants, because we have no idea what Nintendo's going to drop, and honestly, they could be just, like, dropping some of the biggest announcements out of literally nowhere, and it's all going to make us just, like, scramble for things.
It's going to be a fun time.
Fun, albeit probably stressful.
But isn't stress fun?
Goodbye, everybody.
All right, on that note, you can find us in various places on the internet if you like us in particular. Alex, where can people find you on the interwebs?
On the interwebs, so many places. You can find me at Luca_Starks on Twitter and Instagram and Twitch. I play a lot of video games real bad on Twitch, but we got fun. We got some fun happening over there. I also technically have a YouTube channel. I don't really use it, so go follow me on Twitch and say, hi, I am a person. And that's good enough for me.
As for me, I am not on as nearly as many places on the interwebs. You can find me especially on the Zelda Universe forums. I am Ezlo Spirit. I do have a blog. I don't do anything fancy. It's mostly a personal blog, but I guess if you want to stalk me or whatever, it's pillowfort.social/EzloSpirit. And that's pretty much it, I guess. Because social media, what's that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's thing.
What are people?
Eden out here asking the big existential questions as we round up the end of the year. We all hope that you all listening have a very wonderful rest of 2020. Be safe. Happy holidays. Make good choices out there. And we'll see you in early 2021 for a new episode of the ZUcast that'll probably coincide with either the 35th anniversary of the Zelda franchise or Zelda Universe's 20th anniversary. Woo!
Or both. Hint, hint, wink, wink, possibly.
Possibly, but also
we'll
definitely. Stay tuned.
Bye!
Bye! Good night, everybody.
Hey, it's been a while, LOL Rafflecopter LMFAO Schwartz. Several warriors made this episode a reality, and without turning it into a calamity. So, without further Age of Calamity references, let's roll the credits. Your hosts this time around were Alex Rosenberg and myself, Eden Biskin. Randy Marr looked at what sets Age of Calamity apart from its predecessor. Kelly Timmerman joined the hosts for a little roundtable discussion slash complaining session about the first Hyrule Warriors. I kid, we still love you, Kelly. Elias Thompson summoned some beluga whales or something in another relaxing edition of Fake Zelda History. Those are the peeps you heard this episode, but several others work behind the scenes. The executive producer is me, Eden Biskin. You heard me this episode too. Realm is our new assistant producer, who's graciously stepped up to unburden my shoulders a bit. Kelly Timmerman, yes, that Kelly Timmerman, is our head editor. Mary Stowe is our public relations wizard. When you hear about new ZUcast episodes on our social media pages, that's all her. The ZUcast is a production of the ZUBC, a division of Zelda Universe's media team. You can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music and/or Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite alternative podcatcher. If your platform of choice supports it, feel free to leave us a review. Alternatively, you can provide us with valuable feedback through email at podcast@zeldauniverse.net. On the Zelda Universe forums, we have those and you should join if you haven't already, in the ZUcast hub within the Community Central board, and or on our social media pages, which you'll find at Zelda Universe on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and at Zelda Universe TV on YouTube and Twitch. Happy New Year, everyone! You'll hear from us again in 2021. Now let's go have some fun. Anyway, see you on the other side. Stay safe.
Today's episode's going to be mostly just me and Eden talking. However, we do have some actual good segments as well today. Ooh, redo that again.
Okay.
I don't... Actually, good segments didn't sound right to me. We are going to... Meh. This episode is going... Yeah, I'm doing so well. I'm doing so good. Have you seen... have you ever heard of Unraveled from Polygon?
I've heard of Polygon.
Oh my god, Eden.
I don't watch things on the internet that have not been on TV.
I've heard of Dynasty Warriors. I know it's the game that John Travolta was in at one point in time.
What?
John Travolta's in one of them, I think.
He is? I don't...
Or
I
he,
don't
or know. There's someone that sounds like him. I don't actually know.
Yeah, no. John Travolta... No. They don't have the budget for John Travolta.
You know... Where did what was I thinking of that I remember Dynasty Warriors? I think there's a dude in there that sounds like John Travolta. That might be where I'm getting confused.
Oh. Yeah, that's fair.
Discount John Travolta. How about that? Okay.
Discount John Travolta.
I don't know what else to call it, Eden.
Hello?
Hi.
This is Kelly. From Minnesota.
Alrighty, well, on that note, let's hand it over to Elias, who has another insightful segment about some oh, wow, this is not going anywhere.
You're doing great.
I'm gonna start over.
Go ahead. You said I'm handing the podcast over to Elias, and my first thought was, oh God, it's going to be like 5 minutes long now. Oh no. Oh God.
Oh yeah. If he were in charge.
Yeah. He's like handing podcast to Elias. That's a terrible idea. Let's
5 minute podcast.
Cause Elias.
Yeah. I didn't like Age of Calamity. Oh, I liked it. Why this? Okay. Oh yeah. Here's my reasoning. Okay, cool. Bye.
So what you're saying is how we've done those battle roundtable thingies.
Pretty much. Even if you're a cat.
That would be even better if you just say, hello, I am cat, because that is impressive.
Evil typing cats. Good night, everybody.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Boom.
Cool.
I'm sure that will sound so much more coherent in post, because Kelly's magical.
Kelly is a wizard, so I completely get that.
Good thing I just hit the record button. That single thing right there probably could have made my gay my
freaking yeah.
A woo. I think what
you're doing a good job.